This podcast is brought to you by SUM, the School of Meaningful Experiences. For more information, visit www.sum.education. That's www.some.edu/CATION. November 2002. Usha was working in a good company with a good salary. She had also recently married Sanjay, her co-worker from office, and they were preparing to settle down into a new chapter of their lives. On one Monday morning, as Sanjay was getting ready to go to work, he saw Usha sitting snugly and sipping her coffee in the veranda. He asked her, "Working from home today?" She said, "No, I don't feel like going to office today." Sanjay took no notice and thought maybe she just wants to take things easy that day. The next day, the same thing happened. She sat in the veranda and sipped her coffee as he got ready to go to work. And the next day as well. Sanjay got a little worried and thought that she was unwell. So he suggested that they go to a doctor. She smiled and said, "What for? I'm absolutely fine. I just don't want to go to office." And after a few seconds, she added another word, "Forever." And Sanjay was like, "What? Wait, hang on a minute here. You're not going to office forever?" A million questions flooded his mind that instant. The most obvious one was, "Why? What happened? Is something or someone bothering you?" She said soothingly, "Go to your work. We will talk when you come back later in the evening." In the evening, they sat down over a hot cup of tea and she told him that she is not keen on working on the corporate office anymore. She wanted him to be patient as she found an answer to what she wanted to do with her life. But one thing was clear. She didn't want to waste her time in an office regardless of her salary plus bonuses and stocks. Over the next few months, Sanjay observed Usha's quest to find an answer to the question we all ask ourselves as well. What is my calling? What do I do with my life? Usha was a very talented person. She could paint, write, dance, make great art with common household objects, and could do so much more besides a regular job. One day, Sanjay came back home and found her making candles in the kitchen. She didn't even notice him come in. The candles were beautiful. Some had exotic things like coffee beans inside, while some had great colors, scents, and shapes. Sanjay thought that she had found her calling, candle making. Over the next few weeks, they bought a lot of raw wax, molds, strings, wrapping paper, etc., and their kitchen became her lab for experimenting on her products. She gifted many of these candles to her friends and family members. They all loved it, and Sanjay thought that she had found her calling. Probably not. The next morning, she was back in the veranda, sitting snugly and sipping her coffee. She said, "I don't want to make candles anymore." Sanjay went to work and gave her some space. This went on for a few days. One day she asked Sanjay to sign a form and said that she is joining a course on interior decoration. So off they went to this institution, submitted her application and paid the fee in full. She seemed happy. Her classes started and she made new friends who also loved interior decoration. She got her first assignment to do up a full apartment. And Sanjay thought, this is it. She has finally found her calling. But after a few weeks, one morning, she was back in the veranda, sitting snugly and sipping coffee. She said, "I don't want to do interior design anymore." Sanjay insisted that she finish her course at least, but she had shut her mind to that idea completely. After a few days, when Sanjay came back home that evening, he saw her beaming. She said, I finally know what I want to do in my life. And Sanjay said, great, let's hear it. And she says, I want to become a graphic designer. Sanjay's jaw dropped. His first reaction was to scream, are you crazy? But he kept calm. She got some freelance assignments through some ad agencies. She loved the work and finished it in that agreed time. They paid her very little for the effort she had put in, but thought that maybe this is a starting trouble and hopefully things will become better as she gets more clients. But it got worse. Many agencies paid her after months. Some just kept her waiting, and she realized that she wasn't enjoying it as much. And very soon, she was back in the veranda. She then moved on to an education startup where she designed their pedagogical content and did their marketing. Very soon, she realized that their ideologies didn't match and she quit. She also did a short stint as a yoga instructor, which did not last very long either. Like Usha, many of us are constantly searching for our calling. I define our calling as the meaningful activity that puts us in the zone which I had explained in the first episode. This is also called purpose or mission. Dictionary defines calling as a strong urge towards a particular way of life or career. The term calling is also used extensively in spiritual and metaphysical context. Plunge is the symbolic step towards your calling, and by taking that step, you experience the zone. And a big problem in plunge is that sometimes we have many activities that we like doing and we don't know which one is our calling. Usha's case in point highlights exactly that problem and is the focus of this episode. Usha liked to do various things like candle making, interior decoration, graphic design, and so on. But she soon realized that beyond a point, these activities did not engage her. She also figured out that some of these activities were actually hobbies. They didn't give her the zone that she was expecting. Candle making was her hobby. She made candles to relax and give her a temporary relief from the monotony of work. When she started to focus on this activity as a calling, she felt that beyond a point, making candles didn't challenge her enough. After a few days, she felt that she was finding this task monotonous, just like how she felt when she went to office. Hobbies and calling are typically different activities. I'm using the word typically here intentionally because I cannot say for sure. This topic is still being researched by many social scientists and there are many gray areas. But by and large, hobbies are activities that we can do for a while with the intention of relaxing us. For someone like me, my hobbies are going on walks and cooking. After walking for 30 minutes and listening to my podcast collection when I'm walking, I feel that my mind is recharged. I get bored with it and want to do something else. Hobbies don't challenge me. I can do them easily and they relax me. I think this is the key in distinguishing a hobby from a calling. If you find an activity extremely challenging and you can do it skillfully, and you enjoy doing the activity, and you don't get bored with it, then perhaps this activity could be your calling. And when you do this activity more and more, you experience the zone. If you want to learn more about this science in greater detail, read The Flow, a great book which I had mentioned in an earlier episode, or watch the TED Talk by its author. MS Dhoni experiences the zone in cricket because probably it challenges him and he's very skilled at it. He may find some other activity challenging, but he may not have the skills to do it. No two people are alike. What might be a skill for someone could be a handicap for someone else. What might be challenging for someone could be boring for someone else. While the topic of the calling and the zone can help us understand those activities that induce excitement in us, it can also help us to understand the activities that induce fear in us. If a person does not have the skills to do the activity which he finds quite challenging, then he will experience a lot of anxiety, uncertainty, or fear from that activity. That is why many of us are not very comfortable with exams, or speaking in front of an audience, or being assertive with customers, or handling politics at work, or dealing with bullies, and so on. We find these tasks challenging, but don't have the skills to deal with them. So, we are afraid of them. So how does one deal with bullies or become a public speaker? The answer is quite simple. Develop the skills to tackle these challenges. There is ample research to prove that one can overcome their fears of these activities if they learn the skills to do them. It can be daunting and scary, but not dangerous or impossible. I think it is all about how our brain acts and how the things inside it shape our priorities and perspectives to make our choices. A big chunk inside our brain attic is occupied by fear, uncertainty, and doubt, popularly called FUD. I will dedicate an entire episode on how one deals with FUD very soon. But for now, stay with me and turn back your focus to finding your calling. Here are three simple steps for you, for which you only need a pen and paper. So don't get too worked up. In the worst case, you just lost a few minutes of your time, a little ink of your pen, and a piece of paper. Step 1. List down all the activities that interest you, including your job. Let's take the example of a person called George, who has got 7 such activities. Coding, which happens to be his job. Driving. Cooking. Meeting people. Writing. Playing with your kids, and finally, watching cricket. Step 2. Now for each of the activities, plot down values on a scale of 1 to 10 for how challenging you find that activity and how skilled you are at them. Once you have noted these numbers against each activity, see which activity gets the highest values for both challenges and skills. In George's case, consider coding. He gives it a 5 on the scale of challenge and 8 on the scale of skills. He obviously is not challenged enough in this job and feels that he is overqualified. This is bound to create a mismatch in our lives, which causes frustration and feelings of emptiness. Now perhaps George sees that writing is a 9 out of 10 on the challenge scale and a 9 out of 10 on the skill scale. In his university, he majored in computer programming and also did few courses in literature and creative writing. He aced that course. He even published few stories and was the editor of the college magazine. But he focused more on the computer programming course rather than creative writing because a programmer job was easy to get and it pays quite well as compared to a writing job for a magazine or a publishing house. Step 3. Walk away and let this paper sit for a few hours, perhaps even a day or two. Then restart the same process from step 1 all over again. If you're getting a similar outcome each time, then it appears that your calling was in writing and you clearly are in the wrong job. You're miserable because you're torn between these two points of your life. There is an interesting Bollywood movie I saw recently that portrays this predicament. It was called Tamasha, had Ranbir Kapoor and Deepika Padukone playing the lead roles and was directed by Imtiaz Ali. The movie starts with a chance encounter of two people, Deepika and Ranbir, vacationing in an exotic location. Deepika has lost her passport, wallet, phone, etc. and Ranbir helps her. He introduces himself as Dawn, the character from the movie Dawn. They both hit it off, have a great time together, and finally go their separate ways after Deepika gets a new passport and tickets. But Deepika can't get him out of her mind. She is enamored by his energy, his wit, his charm, and his persona. She tracks him down after a few years in Delhi. But this version of Ranbir is nothing like the Dawn she had met earlier. Though this version of Ranbir works in a big company, earns a good package, has a good house, car, and so on, he's extremely ordinary and boring. Their dates are boring. Ranbir realizes this too. They do not have much to talk about. The movie frequently flashes back to Ranbir's childhood when he was fascinated by a storyteller in his town. When all the other boys would be playing and buying candy with their pocket money, Ranbir would use his pocket money to pay the storyteller, who would entertain him with his stories. Ranbir starts to develop a passion for storytelling and theatre. But he ends up in a boring college due to parental pressure, which leads him to a boring job. He nurtures his love of theatre and is torn between the two worlds, searching for his calling. And so when he's alone, vacationing on that island when he bumps into Deepika, he allows himself to project himself as the other person. The person who loves stories and theatre. The person he wants to be. He acts like Dawn and is full of life because he's in the zone. And throughout the movie, Ranbir's struggle to understand his calling and striving to experience his zone is visible. A beautiful contrast of this struggle is Deepika's own struggle to find the version of Ranbir that she was attracted to, the Dawn version of Ranbir. The movie ends with Ranbir finally reconnecting with the storyteller, who is now a very old, senile, blind man. Ranbir asks him, "What should I do with my life?" And the old man, beautifully played by Piyush Mishra, yells at him, "It's your life! And you're expecting me to tell you what to do with it? You coward! You fraud!" And that does it. Ranbir finally realizes that all along, his search for his purpose and his yearning for the zone was around theatre and storytelling. But he was scared to follow it due to his social pressures and his own lack of clarity. He quits his job and becomes a theatre actor. The movie has a great climax. It shows Ranbir fulfilling his calling as a stage actor, enjoying his zone after he finishes his act in front of a large audience and gets reunited with Deepika. The search for one's calling can create conflicting feelings, which can be bucketed into two big ones. The first one is that of confusion or bewilderment, and the second one is that of intimidation and fear. I will focus the fear aspect in the next episode. Let's talk about confusion for a bit. The starting point of confusion for many, including George, is that we don't know what activities we like to do. It is possible that George just stares at the paper in step one that I mentioned above. And despite our best efforts to start filling the paper, he is blank. It could be hesitation or inertia. So how do you deal with this problem? Be patient. When a tap of water is opened after a long time, there is a phase where empty air comes out. Then there is a spluttering and coughing from the fountain as it spits out the debris that was choking the passage. And once that passage is cleared, water gushes out. The same thing happens in the search for calling. The tap inside you has not been open for a long time. It is also choked with its own debris inside. So don't expect water to gush out when you open it. Give it some time and be patient. The second big cause of confusion is the question, what if I have more than one activity which has high scores for challenge and skills? So let's take George's example again that we discussed earlier. In step two, George sees that there are two activities, writing and selling, which got the best scores. He is now confused which one to pick as his calling. This is quite common as well. A good idea at this point is to go back to your brain attics and look at your priorities and perspectives one more time. And if you feel that you are still stuck and don't know how to proceed further, do what Jay and Veeru did in one of the finest movies ever made in India, Sholay. They flipped a coin, which helped them decide. Sometimes flipping a coin is the best thing you can do in your life. In a TED talk at Stanford, Baba Shiv, a professor of marketing, explains this beautifully. He says that if we stop being in the driver's seat of our life all the time, controlling every decision of our life, it is not good in the long run. He gives examples that suggest that letting go of control over our decisions gives us a better shot to progress in our lives. So flipping a coin is a great idea because it is a game of probability and you have no control over it. I do it all the time. And the final reason of confusion is the question, is it even possible to have multiple callings in a single lifetime? What if I choose writing as my calling, but if I go back to the three steps after a few months, I find that the scores drop and I begin to like something else? In the earlier episode of Choices, I did explain this phenomena with examples. Our brain attics keep changing over time, and yes, it is possible that one can have many callings in a lifetime. Emily Wapnick calls this person as a multipotentialite. In her TED talk, she talks about her own story, which is quite similar to Usha. She started with an activity and after a few months or a year, got bored with it and moved to the next, and so on. But what I liked about her talk was that she made choices for an activity that she felt was her calling, and when she experienced boredom with it, she went back to the drawing board, identified the new calling, and went ahead with it. Unlike Emily, many of us get stuck in analysis paralysis. That is a waste of time. Pete Davis explains this nicely in his speech and calls his generation as the Netflix generation. In his speech, he says that his generation is stuck in an infinite browsing mode on Netflix. They have so many movies and shows to choose that they keep browsing, trying to find the best one. Very soon, they feel tired, bored, and stuck. He argues that the key is to pick any one movie or show, see it to the end, and move on. This is the only way to break out of the infinite browsing mode and make progress in life. So go ahead, make your choices, pick an activity, keep doing it till you think you cannot do it any further. Revisit the three steps of finding your calling and start all over again. This podcast is brought to you by SUM, the School of Meaningful Experiences. For more information, visit www.sum.education. That's www.some.education.